Good morning. It is good to be here with you. I was hoping to be with you in person, but today is still my last day of quarantine. I should be free tomorrow. I'm very excited about that. I can only tell you that after having returned from the Bahamas and having to quarantine, that quarantining is very hard work. And this last second week has just gone by terribly, terribly slow. Just want to bless you again for being here, whether you're joining us in person or online. As well, I want to say a big thank you to my friends Al Downey and Jeremiah Rival for speaking in these last four Sundays that I have been away. Really, really appreciate that. I trust that you listened to what God was saying to us through them. So we move on to this week's sermon that I have called People of the Spirit. People of the Spirit. You know that God is a missional God. He's been on a mission since the beginning, something the scripture says he planned before the foundations of the world to reconcile humanity to himself. God has always been a missionary God. We can see that throughout scripture. And part of the blessing and responsibility and privilege that we get as his children and as his church is to join him in that mission of reconciling people to himself. And this is one of the reasons why we need to be people of the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that enables us, that empowers us to love people, to proclaim the love and message of Jesus Christ, to point people to Christ, to be the people of the Spirit doing the work that God has called us to do. It's really, really important. I want to introduce you to a new friend of mine. This is Pastor Timothy. And Pastor Timothy pastors the oldest and longest continually serving Baptist church in the Caribbean, Bethel Baptist Church in Nassau. Has been in ministry for over 200 years. And I had the privilege of meeting with him. He is also the president of the Progressive Baptist Convention. This is the convention to which Martin Luther King Jr. belonged to. So they have a long history of proclaiming the gospel and also of social justice and so forth. And as I met one day with Dr. Timothy, I was struck. As we sat there outside a little cafe in Nassau, and as he shared his story, he is having dialysis treatments, but he needs to have a new kidney. And he's very short from meeting all the requirements so that he can then travel to John Hopkins Hospital, where he will have a kidney transplant. Thankfully, both of his sons are matches, so one of them, I think, is donating a kidney. But as I heard his story of how he met his wife and starting in ministry and his family and all the wonderful work that they are doing, I sat there just struck by how much there was something that this man carried that just really moved me. To be honest, I really just had to fight so hard to fight the tears back, because I just wanted to cry as I sat there in his presence and listened to his story. And as he shared of the challenges and the opportunities of ministry and just life in general, I was moved. And when we parted ways after about an hour or so of visiting, if it hadn't been for the COVID restrictions, I just wanted to give him a hug, and I just wanted him to wrap his arms around me. Later on, as I processed, why did I feel this way with a person I've never met before, never heard before, don't know much about him? And it really became clear to me that this is an individual in whom the Spirit of God lives, a person of the Spirit. That is what impacted me so much. I just sensed this love, this confidence, this presence, this just contentment of someone who's a person of the Spirit. It really, really just blessed me to spend those few minutes with him. Well, the Holy Spirit, I was thrilled actually to hear just recently that the seniors want to do their next study about the Holy Spirit. What a great theme to pursue. What a great activity to engage in, to find out, to learn more. Who is this Holy Spirit? And so just briefly, I want to touch base here. Of course, the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. We see this in Genesis already at the beginning, where it says that the Spirit of God hover over the waters of creation. And then in chapter 1, verse 26, when God says, "Let us." And this, again, this wonderful, mysterious, probably we can never fully understand, this triune God, one God in three persons. What a mystery. We will never understand that. But Scripture teaches us again and again that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equal. They have different ministries, different activities, but they are one God, co-equal, co-eternal, co-glorious, as the old creeds say. But the Holy Spirit is also a person, not in the sense of like a person like you and me, but that has personhood, has qualities of a person. We read in Ephesians 4:30, where we are told to not grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not a ghost, is not an it, is not a power, is not a force. The Holy Spirit has personhood. And we need to remember that. The Holy Spirit is also promised by Jesus in his earthly ministry, especially if you look in the chapters of John, after the Last Supper and before the arrest of Jesus, he spends quite a bit of time emphasizing on the fact that the Holy Spirit, he uses this wonderful little word that says, "I must go and I will send another one just like me." And this is the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised him. And then, of course, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. And the Bible also tells us that the Father sends the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit came, of course, in this glorious moment that we refer to as the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured on the disciples, on the believers in the upper room, as the Bible says. You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people, certain people, to do certain things for a certain time, and then he would depart. But when the Spirit came after Jesus returned to the Father, then we have now the Spirit here at all times. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He lives inside of us. In fact, Jesus said it was better for him to return to the Father than the Holy Spirit could come and be with every one of his followers wherever they would be in the world. And so this is the Holy Spirit that has come. And Jesus' last command, as he spoke to his disciples, said, "Please stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come. Then you will receive power to live the way I want you to live and to be my witnesses." That is, to carry out the mission for which I have come, for which I was born, for which I lived, for which I died, for which I rose again. And the Holy Spirit, as we see in John 14:26, John 15 verses 5 to 15, has a multifaceted ministry. He teaches us the truth. He reminds us of Jesus' teaching. He convicts us when we do wrong. He convicts people that don't know him about sins, that they will see that the winsomeness of Christ, the love of God, and that they can turn to him. The Holy Spirit has so many ways in which he ministers to us. And so this is the Holy Spirit. We need to learn more about that. We claim to be Pentecostals. And what does that mean? Except that we should be people who know the Holy Spirit, who live in the Spirit, who keep in step with the Spirit, who don't grieve the Holy Spirit, who listen to the Holy Spirit, who obey the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. That's what it means, and that's something that should be for every believer. The Holy Spirit is available. In the New Testament, we have some examples, one of them being Stephen, of whom the Bible says that he was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. This was an individual they chose to help serve tables, to help distribute food, to help care for the needs of the congregation, that he was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Later on in Acts 11, we read about Barnabas, and that Barnabas was an individual full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Once again, we have this, and there are other examples, but these two examples I'm mentioning of individuals who walked in this reality of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because what God has called him to do and what God has called us to do, we cannot do in our own power, in our own wisdom, in our own ability. We must do it. We need to do it full of the Holy Spirit. This is a young lady that I met at the Toronto airport on her way to the Bahamas. She's a nurse. She lives in British Columbia. And as I got to know her, I began to realize how deeply in love she is with Jesus. How thrilled she is to serve wherever the opportunity presents itself. And to do it because the Spirit of God has enabled her and has prompted her, and she understands her role. Here she is actually in the process of donning off, of taking off her PPE, very, very careful. And she has served in different capacities. She was on a mercy ship for a number of months and so on. And as I listened to her story, as she talked about her connection to her church, about reading scripture, about prayer, about participating in the activities of the mission of God, I was just so moved. And after she came home, she posted something on her Instagram that she had written in her journal while in the Bahamas. Listen to this. This is a mid-20-year-old individual. I quote, "I'm amazed by God's sustaining strength. In our weakness, He makes us strong. I am convinced that He just wants our yes, and His Spirit truly does the rest. It's a lie from the enemy that we have to have it all worked out, that it's somehow us working our lives. It's not our gifts, although by God's grace, He freely equips us. But it's through His leading and our humble submission that we find the abundant life the Gospels promise." What amazing, deep, thoughtful words from Kiana, from this young nurse. Did you catch that? I am convinced that He, that is God, just wants our yes. And His Spirit truly does the rest. So you say yes to Jesus. I say yes to Jesus. We all say yes to Jesus. And the Spirit guides us to what we should do, what we should say, who we should talk to, who we should help. That's what being a person of the Spirit is. I wish you could meet her. And just you'd be so encouraged, so inspired. And you would say, if Kiana can do that, I can do that too. Because we can be people of the Spirit. Here's what I think the secret is that we are to desire the Holy Spirit. We are to want Him in our lives. We are to long for Him. And Jesus uses this analogy of being thirsty for the Holy Spirit. You can read it in John 7:37 to 39. And Jesus says that when we have Him, it'll be like a river bubbling up from our heart that can just minister to other people, reach out to other people, refresh others who are just weary from life. Weary from the challenges and difficulties that come with being a human, with living in this season of COVID-19. That the Spirit in us could just like bubble up and spread to others. So I have a question. How thirsty are you for the Holy Spirit? The other thing, which the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, is that we are to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually, that means ongoing, at every opportunity, every moment. You see, some of us had an encounter with the Holy Spirit years ago. And perhaps we sensed something, or there was an evidence of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's it. And we're like, I have the Holy Spirit. I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit. But friends, many of us have walked away and haven't had an ongoing relationship with the Spirit where we are continually being filled again and again and again. Not only do we need that, but that's what the Holy Spirit wants to give us. He wants to fill us in and with himself every time. It's interesting that in this passage, Paul says not to be drunk with alcohol, but instead to be continually filled with the Spirit. Why? Have you noticed? Have you known maybe, you know, that one strange uncle or relative or a coworker, and you've been at a party, at a family reunion, and they are so drunk. They are no longer under self-control. They are controlled by this, what they've drunk. They're not acting according to how they would if they were in their full faculties. And friends, when we say yes to the Holy Spirit, like Kiana said, then we are no longer under our control. We don't have to try to do our own living, as she says. We can live by the Spirit. So continually being filled. I remember as a kid, in the town where I lived, there was a house fire, and we had no firemen. So the police, with their M16s, they were all marching and running up to that house, and a few of them had buckets full of water. By the time they got there, there's like no water left in those buckets. How could they fight that fire? And you know, I was amazed when I came to the U.S. that there were these fire hydrants and fire trucks, and how they connect that hose to the fire hydrant, and they open it, and there's water, and they can turn off a fire. That's the difference. To be continually filled with the Spirit is to be connected to him all the time. That as we deplete, as a tank kind of begins to dry, there's just more and more of him that comes. Friends, don't forget that. Be filled with the Spirit. This is a new friend of mine. One day in the middle of the day, a hot, humid day, this individual came by to where I was and just started sharing their life story. And for 2 hours, this person shared of the challenges of life and relationships and work and all of those things. And I listen, and as I listen, I pray. And I'm, God, what do I say? What do I encourage this person to do? And at the end, I was able to pray. I was able to provide some resources. I was able to just encourage this person. But let me ask you a question. Why would a person come to a kind of like a complete stranger and just share their life? Again, as I thought about it, the only thing I can think of is that this person felt that I was a safe person to share their life with. And I believe that the only reason why that was possible is because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. And this is when I know you were praying for me, because life down there in the Bahamas was busy. The weather, I know you guys find this wild. It was like 32, 33, 98, 92% humidity. I would rather much have this weather like we're having now than weather that hot. And at those moments, it's the Spirit of God that enables us to listen to someone, to discern beyond the words, because the Spirit is in us, is in me. And I know that's a big part, because you have been praying for me as well. And you and I have opportunities like this where people are looking for safe individuals with whom they can share their most challenging situations, their darkest secrets, their greatest needs, their greatest longings, their deepest disappointments. And if you and I would be people of the Spirit, we will find more and more opportunities just like that. You see, what the world and the church need is for you and I to be people full of the Spirit. You'll remember the story in Acts chapter 8, when Philip, moved by the Spirit, ends up going in a different direction than he intended to go. And there is this individual, a high-ranking officer from Ethiopia, reading a passage from the prophet Isaiah that makes no sense to him. And as Philip is riding along, the Spirit goes, says, go and talk to him. Now, Philip had to know and be discerning and be acquainted with the voice of the Spirit so that when the Spirit spoke, he could react in obedience. And I wonder how many times the Spirit has spoken to me and I have not heard him. I have not discerned him. This is why we need to be people of the Spirit. So when the Spirit says, do this, we do that. When the Spirit says, go there, we go there. When the Spirit says, stop here, we stop. But that we live in constant relationship and oneness with the Holy Spirit. Can I say to you today, on this middle of November Sunday, that as we are ending this crazy year, and who knows what awaits us in 2021, can we commit to being people of the Spirit? Allowing the Spirit to fill us, to guide us, to empower us, to open up our eyes, to open up our ears to what he wants us to hear and to see, and to close them to those things he doesn't want us to see or hear. You see, when you and I are people of the Spirit, then we go about doing the work, the missionary work for which God gave us life, for which Jesus came and lived and died and rose again. That's why he has us here. This is why after we give our lives to Christ, then we are all responsible to carry on this mission. We get to play a part in reconciling the world to God. Isn't that great? Isn't that good news for us? So let's be people of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus, as his earthly ministry was finishing here after the resurrection, as he did before his death, reminds us of our need of the Spirit. Forgive us because we do not thirst for the Holy Spirit. Forgive us that we don't seek a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us for trying to go about living the Christian life, carrying out your mission in our own strength and effort. Today, we recommit again to being people of the Spirit, to thirsting for him, desiring for him, longing for him, knowing him, allowing him to control our lives. And as my friend Kiana says, to say yes, to say yes, to say yes, to being people of the Spirit, that we may reflect you wherever we go, whatever we do, not just Sundays here in church, but in our everyday life, that we may be people of the Spirit. For the glory of your name, we pray these things. Amen. Folks, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.